coming up on Red and Gold. We look back on Chief safety Eric Berry's Pro Bowl season.
Big throws it loud, and it's intercepted. Intercepted by Berry off a deflection from Derek Johnson. 10-5, touchdown, Kansas City.
Then I sit down with defensive coordinator Bob Sutton.
There's a great feeling when you come in that stadium, and I always thought when you came to Kansas City, it had the most feeling like a college atmosphere.
Plus, we head to the film room with voice of the Chiefs Mitch Holthus and former Chiefs long snapper Kendall Gammon as they break down the versatile play of Chiefs fullback Anthony Sherman.
And the Sherman tank rolls into the end zone.
It's all next on this edition of Red and Gold.
See you later.
Hey, Chiefs fans, welcome to Red and Gold. I'm your host, Rachel Sanchi. With spring finally here, that means the much-anticipated NFL draft is right around the corner.
With the fifth pick in the 2010 NFL draft, the Kansas City Chiefs select Eric Berry.
It was just 4 years ago when the Chiefs selected Eric Berry, fifth overall in the 2010 draft. Since then, number 29 has gone on to establish himself as one of the top safeties in the league, earning a trip to the Pro Bowl in three of his first four seasons. This week's player spotlight shines on Chiefs safety Eric Berry.
I remember having a long conversation with Bob Sutton up in St. Joe at training camp and asking him about how he planned to utilize Eric Berry. And it was almost like a kid on Christmas morning with some new toys. He didn't know quite how to use them.
He's kind of a hybrid. You got a safety that can kind of play linebacker. The number of guys that you can actually suit up, if they can do more, then that's good.
In the past, they relied on his versatility a lot. In some ways, I thought that versatility was holding him back. People thought he was playing too close to the line of scrimmage and maybe he was a little bit out of position, but the way they ran that defense this year, they really took advantage of that.
He can play in the box. He's tremendous against the run, so you saw him almost play more like a linebacker at times in Bob Sutton's system.
The mindset is crack 'em. That's the kind of game that Eric brings to the table.
You know, he's a missile, man. He'll just come up and lay you out.
He is so physical. Being able to bring up that extra defender against the run and adding some pressure on the quarterback, it just felt like he had a level of comfort in Bob Sutton's defense.
Eric Berry with the sack, shoveling dirt on Pryor back at the 10.
Let's go, keep it rolling, keep it rolling.
I really think his mind, his drive is the most important thing. He's physically gifted. He has a lot of just natural ability, but to watch a lot of film, to study where guys are going to be on certain points, and everybody in the NFL talks about that, but I think Eric's an exceptionally smart guy and can really put that to use when it counts.
You've got to be able to realize, react, and then go nail somebody. And Eric Berry does that.
He's talked about studying basketball players for pass rush moves. And, you know, he calls that the Euro step, and that's how he gets to the quarterback. I don't know how many guys had as many interceptions and sacks as he did last year.
And now he's going to be sacked again, a blitz, and it came from Eric Berry. The sacks are back.
There's a lot of things I like about him, and I think he did a better job of being able to cover tight ends. I don't remember seeing him get beat as much this year in coverage.
Probably the best tight end, one of them at least, that they faced all year was Jason Witten. And Eric really shut him down and kind of took him out of the game.
Ball game! See you, Dallas! Kansas City gets a gut check win! Their first win over Dallas since 1998.
I remember the Thursday night game in Philadelphia. I liked the way Bob Sutton used Eric Berry. And you saw the different ways he was going to be able to stay in that box and play the run. But Eric Berry did a great job of being able to minimize Vic's effectiveness.
This is a division game, and this side division. Show up and let's eat today, baby.
Defensive backs are a different breed. They always say we're on an island. Well, let him be the skipper and indicate to those teammates of his in that formation, we've been here, we've done this, this is not new to us.
You gotta get the ball today, brother.
I saw that in him on that day against the Texans at Arrowhead. When it looked like, wow, there's going to be an upset here at Arrowhead because of a little-known quarterback who's going to make his name, I think Eric Berry was kind of like the focal point hey guys, we've got this. Don't wilt under the pressure. If his teammates see him doing that and stepping up in that fashion, and they see how he backs it up, it's going to be a domino effect.
But this defense in this second half has been unreal.
This year, I thought he had by far his best season as a pro, and he's had some good ones.
Looking back at the past season, what are some of the accomplishments that you're most proud of?
Well, I think, you know, obviously it was a great start. You know, that was obvious. I think the fact that Andy really injected in the whole organization a real positive vibe, a great belief in what we were doing. And I thought the players did a great job of absorbing that, buying into it. You know, although we didn't finish exactly like we'd like, I mean, I think there's a lot of things that we can take out of that season and say, hey, we took a step forward, we built a foundation. You know, I thought for the most part we played pretty solid defense. You know, we had some things at the end we weren't happy with, obviously, but overall I thought they did a great job.
In your system, how much emphasis do you put on getting to the quarterback?
Well, I think the thing that we put a lot of emphasis on is what we call affecting the quarterback. It's really not about sacks. Sacks are great, don't get me wrong, but if an offense really wants to prevent sacks, they can throw the ball quick enough that they can always get the ball away. But to us, it's always about the ability to take the ball away, either by taking possession of it, by stopping them on third down, or actually taking the ball away from them in the way of takeaways. And in both those areas, I thought the players did a great job, you know, for us last year. I think we ended up second in takeaways and fifth in third down takeaways. So that's really what we try to sell our players on, is the effect of on a quarterback is either by hurries, you know, making him throw a little quicker, making him not be able to hold the ball and see the coverage. Sometimes it's a tip ball in here. Sometimes it's just good initial coverage that prevents him from finding somebody, that affects all these things. So that's a good start, because we got a couple of guys in our division here that are hard to affect. So that's where the emphasis is on.
There's some strong veteran leadership on the defensive side of the ball. Why is that so important to a team?
Well, I think that in the end, the team is going to be as strong as the core leadership is, because they have to internalize all this. They're out there on the field, and we're not. And there's nothing we can do to help them, you know, particularly on defense. You know, when things aren't going good on defense, you don't get to come off the field to either stop them or they score. So if something's going wrong, you know, we need some people to be able to step up and do that. Leadership isn't it's really not an easy thing, you know, because once you step up, you know, on that platform, you don't get to step back down, you know, say, I'm not going to lead today. No, that isn't part of the deal. So when you say, I'm going to be the leader, you got to be the leader every day, you know, and that's not easy. You have to lead in the meeting room, you got to lead in the weight room, you got to lead on the field, all those things. You can't be selective of when you are or aren't going to lead. We have some guys that are more than capable of that and have done a great job of that. And it's an area that you're always trying to develop. You know, it has to be developed, and then it has to be maintained.
For a while last year, Arrowhead Stadium held the world record for the loudest stadium. How does that help give you a home field advantage?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, it's a great place to coach and play. You know, you can feel the energy and you can feel the momentum, and you know, defensively, I mean, we get the greatest benefit of that, you know, because it can affect the opposing offense. There's a great feeling when you come in that stadium, and I know in the past, I always thought when you came to Kansas City, it had the most feeling like a college atmosphere. You know, I mean, there was just a great feeling in there, and the fans want you to do well. They're waiting for you to do it, and they're there to, you know, I think really support that, and it can make a difference, believe me.
Welcome back to Red and Gold. Chiefs running backs coach Eric Bieniemy describes him as the hammerhead that makes it all happen, and the one with the most dynamic personality. If you haven't guessed it yet, Coach Bieniemy is referring to none other than Chiefs fullback Anthony Sherman. On this week's Chiefs Live Overdrive, voice of the Chiefs Mitch Holthus and former Chiefs long snapper Kendall Gammon join us to discuss Anthony Sherman's impressive 2013 campaign.
And Charles to run to the near side. He's got the open field.
It's going to be hit and obliterated.
Sacked by Tom Mahomes.
The Chiefs Kingdom knows him now as the Sausage, Anthony Sherman, Chiefs fullback, who last year was listed as ProFootballFocus.com's best fullback in the entire National Football League. Now, the fullback has a unique role in Andy Reid's offensive system. So, Ken, I'll have to ask, with Sherman, how many different things did he do to help this team last year?
Well, Mitch, he was productive in all phases of the game. Special teams, he was a key performer. He caught the ball out of the backfield, and he paved the way for Jamaal Charles and some of his best runs in 2013.
Here against the Colts in Week 16, the Chiefs are facing an 8-man front, with the Colts linebackers creeping towards the line of scrimmage before the play. The Chiefs are going to run a basic stretch play, and Jamaal will follow Sherman into the hole. As the play develops, this linebacker will recognize run and crash to the line of scrimmage. But unfortunately for him, he meets Sherman head-on instead. Sherman seals him off from the play, and Jamaal skirts by untouched, evaporating the bad angle taken by the safety.
Handoff, lead play, right, Charles, 30 at the 25, skipped up the tackle, 15, outruns the secondary, 10, 5, touchdown, Kansas City!
There you go, 2-5, there you go, baby!
Here again in week one, the Chiefs have just intercepted Blaine Gabbert deep in Jacksonville territory. Already up 7-2 early on, a big play on first down here would go a long way in crushing the spirit of the Jaguars' defense. Here, the Chiefs will set up a counter play to the near side. As the ball is snapped, the Chiefs' offense will fake right, causing the linebackers to move out of position. The success of the play is dependent on Anthony Sherman getting this block here, sealing the outside linebacker from Jamaal's backside cut. As the play begins, Sherman gets into perfect position and delivers a textbook block on the linebacker, and Jamaal goes untouched to the second level.
An 18-yard sprint draw by Jamaal Charles.
Mitch, that's some good old-fashioned smash-mouth football and really brings to light how important Anthony Sherman is to the Chiefs' offense.
Whether old-fashioned or new-fashioned, one thing that was apparent, especially in last year's 9-0 start, was the Chiefs' ability to close games out with the running game. So what role did Anthony Sherman play in sealing the deal?
Well, Mitch, week two, Dallas, perfect example.
The Cowboys are down by one, hoping for a stop on defense with under 4 minutes left. The Chiefs had a difficult time running the ball consistently throughout the game, but they needed to run the clock down here. On first down, the Chiefs line up with two tight ends in an I formation. On the snap, the guard will pull to the outside, opening up a lane for Sherman to lead the way for Jamaal. Sherman takes on the outside linebacker 3 yards downfield, busting open a big hole outside for a first down.
Great blocking in front of him on that right side. It started with Fasano. Sherman got a nice cut block, then Bo got a downfield block.
Here again in week 9 against Buffalo, the Chiefs are up by a touchdown and chewing up clock late in the game. Buffalo needs a stop. They bring 5 men to the line of scrimmage and blitz another linebacker up the middle. This means that if the Chiefs break through the line of scrimmage, Anthony Sherman will be matched up one-on-one with a linebacker, a matchup that Sherman usually wins. That proved to be the case here as he sticks the linebacker with a little help from Jeff Allen and Jamaal pops to the outside, keeping the clock moving for a big first down.
That's a great piece of blocking from Anthony Sherman and something that you saw week in, week out. They almost seemed to get stronger as the games wore on.
Yeah, it was fun to watch those videos. Now, we all know the Chiefs had the most explosive running back in all of football with Jamaal Charles. Couple that with a hard-hitting fullback like Anthony Sherman, it's exciting to see what the running game can do for the Chiefs in 2014.
Stay tuned. When Red and Gold returns, we take an in-depth look into the Chiefs art program, located right inside of Arrowhead Stadium. Welcome back to Red and Gold. This past year, the Hunt family worked with local leaders in the Kansas City arts community to create a unique, regionally focused art collection at Arrowhead Stadium. The program brings arts and sports together and provides educational opportunities for the youth of Kansas City to learn about art in a different setting. 11 pieces were installed at the start of last season, and there are plans to double that number by the summer of 2014. In this week's Access Arrowhead, we take a behind-the-scenes look at the Arrowhead Art Collection.
Yeah, you always get that question, when did you know you wanted to be an artist? I'm one of those people that I can't remember a time when I wasn't drawing or painting or making something.
There was no television, there are no computers, so you had to fill your time in some meaningful manner, and drawing was a good way to do that.
Start drawing cartoons, I think, in kindergarten, and I never stopped.
You know, I don't know if I should say this, but I'll be honest. My first foray into art was graffiti.
Art is my life.
Kansas City, since the age of the locomotive, has been a crossroads of imagination. And in 1972, the aesthetic footprint of Mid-America was elevated with the dawn of Arrowhead Stadium. Lamar Hunt built an architectural masterpiece, a cultural icon in the nation's heartland, a work of art in its own right. Arrowhead's tradition of design and ingenuity continues today.
There are many great things about Arrowhead, but no doubt one of them is the iconic architecture. Having this great art collection that we're building in there is going to enhance it.
We are really endeavoring to build a very fine art collection here that is completely regional in character.
Artists from this region are inspired by the landscapes and waterways, the people and the history of a time and place.
They express something about life and something that's important to them in a totally unique way.
The best thing to approach this is to go into the studio, figure out what's inspiring to you, and just start pushing paint around. That's how I do it. The more risks and the more mistakes I make, the better the painting is.
I really like the idea of making pieces that were about the landscape, not pieces that were just plinked in the landscape.
I can feel like I can step into the paintings and actually become a part of them as I'm working on them.
There are artists that have a sensibility that really addresses what Kansas City, what the region is about. And I think that is what you will see at Arrowhead.
Football fans are a great audience actually to have because they're excited to be here. And they're happy, and they're in a good mood. So you're catching people at a great time of their day.
There's just an energy, a game day energy, where people are all sort of buzzing that's pretty infectious no matter what.
I think that this stadium is part of the fabric of Kansas City.
I'm sure it's a great surprise visually to have all the regional important artists that have this great collection that the Kansas City Chiefs have up on the wall.
Seeing it in a familiar setting where they might not normally see it or think of encountering, it's going to be a surprise.
They'll be viewed by a lot of people, and hopefully some of those people will be inspired by the work. So that's a very meaningful project for me.
If we've done our jobs well as artists, then we've tapped into the spirit of this location and to what's going on here. And that's going to come through in the artwork.
Collaborating, sharing our passions, and bringing a community to higher standards is, I think, what we're all striving for. And this example, this project, is a testament to that.
Arrowhead has always been a cultural landmark for Kansas City, but now there is a strong connection between art and sports. I think it's always been there. I think the excitement of the human experience encompasses a wide range of experiences. People can ask me, what's the connection between art and sports? And I can proudly now say to them, go to Arrowhead Stadium and you'll see firsthand.
Thanks for joining us on this edition of Red and Gold. The NFL draft is right around the corner, so be sure to check out kcchiefs.com and we'll keep you updated on all the news and info. Chiefs fans, get ready for your spring cleaning. The Chiefs are hosting the second annual Extra Yard for the Environment Recycle Drive at Arrowhead Stadium on Saturday, March 3rd. Visit GoArrowhead.com to see how you can help keep Kansas City green. Until next time, go Chiefs!
Toss power trap.